Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
And that's where I am now. So now I wouldn't trade my brain for the world, Rebecca. Back then, I would have given anything to trade my brain, right? And that's, but it, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a compounding effect. You got to take slow steps, and that's what I help.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to another episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung, and I am super excited today to talk to Will Moore, who is incredible and awesome, and on top of it, a really nice person. Imagine that. So he is a serial entrepreneur, a speaker, a life coach, happiness expert. After exiting his delivery startup for $323 million business in 2019, he confirmed what he'd spent the last 25 years researching, which is true happiness isn't just gaining money and power. It's figuring out what makes you happy and taking consistent action on those things every day. And he created More Momentum, which is using that same science and technology that he used to create big companies. And he wants people to be addicted to leveling up and leveling up in their real life. He's a big proponent of using wellness and putting wellness over profit. And he's got a system, and he won't rest until the world stops its negative trajectory and starts building positive momentum on its own. So welcome, welcome, Will.
Thank you. Just with that intro, I now see I'm going to shorten that because I obviously sent that to you, and that's a bit of a mouthful. I'm going to get that into two or three sentences. But thank you for that lovely introduction, Rebecca.
Thank you.
And I have just spent the last like 3 hours together, by the way. So, well, I mean, we're warmed up. We're ready to go.
I just was on your show, your incredible Instagram show. Everybody on who's watching this, go check him out on Instagram at 5 Core Life. And you can check out my video there and also check out all the cool stuff that he's got going on as well. And this topic today is you are the champion breaking bad thought habits. So I love the idea of that because, you know, a lot of people think, you know, beliefs are true and they're really just things that you've just been thinking over and over and over again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that? So tell us a little bit about your background, your journey. You know, I said a little bit about it in the intro, but I want to hear more. I want to hear front of the business card and also back of the business card, like your personal journey as well.
The guy behind the guy.
Yes.
From my favorite movie, Swingers, by the way. So thanks again, Rebecca. First of all, Rebecca did an amazing job. I love what she's doing. She's created this thing very quickly, which shows that she's gotten her own momentum going in 10 months just has exploded because what she's saying is so important and needed to be heard. And it's such a great thing. And we had a wonderful show talking about narcissism on our show, negotiating with narcissists, I should say. We covered a lot of awesome stuff. So that's actually on the 5 Core Lab if people want to see it. But we're going to talk about awesome stuff here too. And on the show, I don't know if you remembered, Rebecca, I mentioned Barry Gibb. There's a Bee Gees documentary right now. And it opens up. I just watched it last night on HBO. For those of you that have HBO, I highly recommend it. It opens up, and I don't have the exact quote, but to the gist of Barry Gibb, who's the last remaining Bee Gee alive. He had four brothers, people don't know. Or three brothers, excuse me, and they've all since passed. And his opening statement was, perception is what you, or the world isn't real. It's just your perception on things. Change your perception, change your reality. And, you know, for somebody of that status and has been through as much as he has, and wow, when you watch the documentary, you'll see incredible ups and downs. Just like anybody else, we like to kind of think that celebrities have it easy, but hardly any of them do. They're just like us. Celebrities, they're just like us. In fact, I think there's a magazine article that does that. But ups and downs, and you know, I think it took him a very long time to realize, like, wow, if I had my mindset right, if I was looking at things in a certain way, if I was using universal principles, my life could have gone a lot different. And so that's what I'm trying to help people. I love that. That's what I'm trying to help people with. I had a really tough childhood. Basically, by the time I got to college, I was your typical victim, sure that life was out to get me and there was nothing I could do about it. I was suicidal. And I was like, this is it, like rock bottom status. And fortunately, I had my rock bottom bounce, which I was very lucky to have, where I discovered a different way to look at life. It was a self-help book that was actually introduced to me by one of my professors. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Mr. Dale Carnegie. Anybody that's in the well-being space or has ever tried to better themselves, chances are that you've at least heard of it, if not read that book. I highly recommend it. It just shifted that, just like we were just talking about, with that perspective, that perception, where I was looking at life as your typical, life's out to get me, my brain's broken, there's nothing I can do about it, poor me. You know, hopefully I'll just be able to just fly under the radar and not take too much carnage, right? Versus, I've got everything within me to kick ass, take names, and become whoever I want. And I'm going to use obstacles are temporary roadblocks that I can just bust through. I'm going to give fear the finger and I'm going to set goals. And no matter what, I'm going to figure out how to get there because I believe in myself. If I have weaknesses, just like everybody else, I'm going to figure out workarounds for them. I'm not going to focus on those. I'm going to focus on my strengths, my passions. That's, you know, and that's where I am now. So now I wouldn't trade my brain for the world, Rebecca. Back then I would have given anything to trade my brain. Right. And that's, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's a compounding effect. You got to take slow steps, and that's what I help people with.
I love that. And you talk about habits and how habits can transform your life. And I want to talk about, what do you define first as a habit? Tell us about that.
So a habit is anything that it's an action that you've done over and over again, and has basically, your brain is trying to conserve energy. This is science. So this isn't my opinion. You know, what happens is your brain goes, okay, we've done that over and over again. We got this one. We're just going to go ahead and put it on autopilot and let it do its thing. Here's the thing about habits though. They don't care if they're good or bad, helping or hurting us. They're going to do their thing no matter what, right? So it's just, and that's what's crazy to think about, is it's just as easy to have a good habit, or I call them success habit, versus a failure habit. And, you know, your failure habits are from, you know, this environment that you grew up in, your parents, your schooling, your friends, your peers, media. And, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot when you think about it, because there's no system that we go through where it's like, okay, these are the universal principles in life. We're going to make sure that we show you these, show you how to use them. You know, if you happen to have parents that have good values and morals, great. You pick up some of that. You know, if you happen to go to school that you know, has good teaching certain things other than just the math, the science and the algebra type stuff, then great. You pick up, but it's like, to me, it's crazy how much we're left to our own devices to sort of figure it out on our own. And then by the time you get to young adulthood, like I did, many people are completely lost and are like, I don't know what to focus on. And right now, I mean, every day that goes by, we're becoming more and more obsessed with money and things. And we think that that's the solution. Oh, if I could only get $1 million, if I could only get the right girlfriend, if I could only lose 10 pounds, like then I'll be happy. You know, then I can go sit on a beach and drink a pina colada. It's like, no, that it's the exact opposite. And that's like, I'm preaching to the heavens to try to show people, like, you got to enjoy the journey and you got to enjoy the ride as you're going and figure out what those things are that make you happy along the way. Develop those as habits so that they're on autopilot, helping you build versus hurt your momentum.
And there's so many things that you just said that I want to like dive deeper into, because this is really good stuff. You know, one of the things is when you say, if only, then you're just in this pattern of it's always going to be with only, if only. I mean, you know, you have to believe you have it now in order to, for the universe to want to continue to bring you more of that. Because otherwise you're in this pattern and belief that you're always, you know, stuck in, it's away from you. It's away from you. It's away from you. Right. And so, but I want to delve deeper into this whole idea of habits, because to me, the way you're using the word habit is exactly what I believe, which is, it's really like a neuronal pattern that's like created in your brain. It's a record groove. It's something that was created by your brain in response to something that happened to you as a child. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. And he you know, he's a neuroscientist, and he talks about this. You know, you're a kid, you're on the playground, somebody calls you fat or whatever. And so then you just start to believe, I'm unworthy, I'm a loser, I'm fat, I can never lose weight, I have a hard time with that. And then you start to think, well, I'm not good with people, I'm shy, you know. And so these neuronal patterns are created, and the brain wants to be efficient. So the brain goes, okay, when I get this stimulus, then this is the pattern that we call up. This is the habit that springs into place, right?
Right. Right. So, I mean, yes, continue. Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So tell us how you help people use changing habits to transform their lives.
So again, habits. So you got to think about this. Like, and here's an exercise that I help people do. Again, like I mentioned earlier, like you get to a point where it's hard, especially in this world with a zillion things coming at you, like multi-screens, phone, you got, I mean, how many paid channels do we have to, or streaming services now? It's really hard to know what to focus on. And you know, it's becoming the ADD generation where it's like, oh, look over there. Oh, look, a squirrel. Oh, look at that. And it's like, to be able to actually, like my generation, and I go back, I can't believe I'm saying this, because I remember my mom used to say this, but here it is, I'm doing it. They still read, right? So I started reading all these books in college. I read with that, starting with that first one that I told you about. And then I got addicted, and I became this like insatiable self-help beast. And I was like, I can't get enough. And I just read and I read and I devoured. And then it morphed into seminars and all these other things. And now it's, you know, these days I actually have it stacked, and I tend to listen to books while I'm working out on my iPad, much less friction involved. But my point is, it's a lot harder now for people to have that discipline to take the action needed to change their habits. Because again, these habits, they've formed, and you've got a ton of them. And your life is basically, I mean, some scientists will argue we're 98% of our lives are habits, meaning like we're just kind of operating on autopilot, doing the things that we've learned. And like you were just saying, like at some point we picked up and we thought this is the right way to think, this is the right way to go through life, or maybe we didn't even think this is the right way. It just, our brain started thinking that way. Right.
And I think it's like a protection like module. It's sort of like, okay, in order for me not to get hurt, I have to do this.
That's exactly, that's a huge one of, there's a lot of different reasons we take action, which then become habits. And that's definitely one of them, right?
Yeah.
We take these actions for a lot of different reasons. Protection, fear is a big part of it.
Yeah.
And fear is one of those things. Oh, don't get me started on fear. It is the number one momentum killer. If you let fear be that dominant, and it ties into being that fixed victim versus growth owner I talked about earlier. So I'm now a growth owner, I would consider myself, like I was saying, and that fixed victim, they're led by fear. They're led by, oh, I better be careful. I better not, I don't want to risk, you know, what if somebody thinks that I'm this or there, it's all external, right? They're worried about what other people in the world are going to think of them versus that growth owner that says, F that. I got it all going on here. I know that I got the goods. how am I going to get there? You know, and then just one step at a time. And then it also, failure is a huge part of a growth owner, where a growth owner takes failure and says, okay, that sucked. Cause here's the thing. I don't like it when people say failure, you know, you got to welcome failure. Like, to me, BS. Okay. But what you should do with failure is go, okay, that stung a little bit. I did not like that. I do not want to feel that again. What did I learn from it? How can I get back up and become bigger, better, faster, stronger, smarter, versus letting it cripple you and go, oh God, I'm a failure. I'll never be able to do anything. Why do I even try? I'm just going to go back to doing that other thing. No, when you do fail, it's, and it ties into fear and you're afraid of things, it's actually a signal that there's a growth opportunity there. And so, you know, you go, okay. And so it's how quickly you get back up. It's not, I love to fail. It's okay. That stung, not awesome. Let's move forward and let's not dwell on it. Fixed victims dwell on their failures all day long.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zahn.
And you gotta, I call it fake it till you make it. You really do, because your mind, that nasty habit's gonna be grabbing on and be like, what are you doing, dude? You're going the wrong way. Like, no, we don't look at people in the eye when we talk to them. But then if you keep forcing yourself and you hold yourself accountable and you're having fun doing it and you keep doing it, eventually what's going to happen is that bad habit, failure habit's going to unlock, the new one's going to replace it, and then that's going to start building positive momentum for you on autopilot, just the same way the bad one did.
Have you ever noticed that a fresh perspective can change everything? Well, Truly Divine can help you get there. They offer astrology and numerology, which can be excellent tools for self-awareness and self-discovery. And you can learn more about your own or other psychological tendencies and personalities. They also offer natal birth chart analysis around your own unique birth chart and relationship analysis, which is an excellent tool for revealing how you interact with other individuals and how to overcome challenges in your relationships. One of their customers had this to say, "Thank you for the comprehensive chart. This explains a lot of the internal conflict I've experienced over the years, and now I'm learning to work through it." For more information, head to trulydivine.com and make sure to use the discount code BESTLIFE to get 25% off. This is a truly unique offering at a great value.
Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
They got to make the decision that they're going to change. How they're going to change is irrelevant. They're going to change. How are they going to change? They want to do what Ray got me to do. Sit down and write what they want on a card. If you don't know what you want, nothing's going to change. You've got to decide what you want. What do you really want?
And now we return to today's show.
So you use modern science and technology to help people like actually get addicted to improving their lives instead of being addicted to things that aren't necessarily serving them, like social media or Netflix.
Although I got that quote from Netflix. From the Bee Gees, that documentary.
This is true.
And there is, and that's another cool thing. Sorry to cut you off, but
no, go ahead.
How you look at things, like you can, I still watch, like I see all these success people. I don't watch any TV. I get up at 5 a.m. and I do, you know, look, there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. I've always loved movies. I like them and I watch them, but depending on your mindset, like I'm always looking for opportunities within things, right? So I do like documentaries because I like to go into people's brains and see. And it's like, okay, what did I get from that? Versus just, yeah, that mindless sort of, for 10 hours, that's not good.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you use modern science? What is that? What modern science are you using?
So this is where it gets interesting. You know, as I was saying earlier, we're this like instant generation. Everything's coming out of us. You know, we're really into this until the next shiny wiggly thing does its thing. And then we're into that. And then it's right. And so it's really hard to hold our attention. We want that as humans. It's in our DNA. We want that quick dopamine fix, right? We want to just hit a button and get it delivered to us. That was the company that I used to own that I sold, a delivery company. And so trust me, I'm familiar with the process. But as Stan Lee said, with great power comes great responsibility. And you need to say, okay, now I have all this power in front of me. What's the best way to utilize it? So what I'm doing, as opposed to the Facebooks of the world, the Googles of the world, which, by the way, I'm not one of these people that's going to say they are evil companies. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg, Larry Page started out to be evil. But if you watch, speaking of another documentary, The Social Dilemma on Netflix, which is fantastic, it does dive in a little bit and talks about this.
Yeah.
About how the cat's kind of already out of the bag with these companies, right? The genie's already been let out. They now report to their shareholders. They have a fiduciary responsibility to make as much money as possible. They do not have a responsibility to make sure that your wellness is being taken care of along the way, that you're becoming happier from engaging with their tech, right? And sure enough, what have we found? People are becoming less happy. I mean, this is a fact. The World Happiness Report is the last 3 years in a row. We're headed down. Our life expectancy has gone down for the first time. Teen suicide is at an all-time high, and it's been ever since social media came out. You can look at it. It's a direct correlation.
I mean, it's like we're more connected in some ways, and then in other ways, like more isolated than ever.
And that's exactly my point, which is technology on its own isn't a bad thing. It's how we use it. And so I've vowed with my company, what I'm doing, to use it only for good, to always put the user's wellness over profits, right? Versus, like I said, these other guys, they didn't start out to be bad, but they have no choice. They have to put profit over wellness.
Right.
So one of these things that I'm doing, and I'm going to have a whole line of products. I want to eventually, my goal is to have my company be known as like the Hasbro of personal development.
Right? I like that.
Fun stuff to where it's like, oh yeah, yeah. You have fun doing it, and you're actually improving your life at the same time. So it's my debut thing is going to be an app that I've been working on for the last 3 years. I'm hoping it'll be done in June. And the gist is you're this rocket ship, right? And you've got these five core areas of your life, which are your mindset, your relationships, your career and your finances, your physical health and your emotional health and giving back, just as you can see them right up here. Those are the symbols for them. And the whole key is you need to figure out how to continually take action to build the right habits, to stop the bad habits, to gain momentum in each of these areas. And you need to find balance within one. So you're a rocket ship. And if you're not doing that, you're going to fly off course. If you are, you're going to hit your first stop, which is the moon, then the next planet, then the next eventually galaxy and universe. And, you know, you're weaving through asteroid fields and there's little challenges along the way. The whole reason that I'm doing this is because if you look at habit apps that are out there right now, pardon my French, but they suck. Like, they're boring. They feel like homework. I've tried them all. And in my opinion, this is my opinion, they're missing that element of that dopamine hit, just like people do when they're going on social media and they're getting that, you know, that's not connected, right? It's gotta be. So I'm trying to connect those two to make it fun and addictive, to basically be like, okay, now I'm a game. And how do I get to this next planet? Okay, I want to earn these space credits so I can upgrade my ship to make it more unstoppable. And, you know, all these little elements along the way, and you're just, it's a simple thing. You're checking in the morning and you're basically saying, okay, what are the habits I want to work on today? And what's the core I want to work on? And then at the end, it's okay, how did I do today? And you're scoring yourself, and you've got a little place for notes so you can keep track. And then you can actually see.
It's so fascinating. What a smart idea.
Thank you. I don't see anybody else doing anything like this out there.
So would it be an app?
It's an app.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And do you set up like goals for like the entire year and then break them down into like months and then weeks and then days, or how do you do that?
So it's more, you've got each of your cores. And so after the intro and all this, you take a quick quiz at the beginning to basically find out where you currently stand in each of your cores, just like you can do on my website right now. It's like a little core evaluator. Like, what am I weakest in? And that'll just kind of quickly put a spotlight on, okay, you need to start with this core. And then you essentially just start picking habits from it. And you start saying, okay, and there's an exercise that I help people do, which is their funeral exercise. It sounds a little bit morbid, but it's actually the best thing you can do. You want to flash forward to the end
of your
life.
Where do you want to be at the end?
Who do you want to be in each
of
your five cores?
Work backward from there.
And then that's it. Like, that's the answer. Like, you're like, well, like I was saying, it's like there's all this ambiguity. Like, which way do I go? Who do I listen to? Where do you want to be at the end of your life? And how do we get there? And of course, you know, if your answer is, I want to be sitting on a beach drinking a pina colada, then again, your perspective might be a little shifted, but that's what we help you do with the app as well. You know, going through these exercises and these things, you actually start to see like this will actually benefit you more. And so you're just picking these habits within each one and you're prioritizing them and you start very small. Because if you try to start too big, you're going to get frustrated and be like, this doesn't work. And so it's just one, you start with your mindset core, one habit within that, and you literally just start working that habit. Remember what I said earlier, they don't care if they're good or bad, helping or hurting us. So if you've got a failure habit that's dug in deep with your mindset, let's say for instance, you don't look people in the eye when you meet them, or you have a hard time looking people in the eye when you're talking to them because, you know, you've been ingrained from whatever has happened in your past. Like we were saying earlier, you've gotten to this point and that's become a habit. You want to change that, right? And so you literally have this habit written down. Okay. Look people and hold, you know, when you meet them, shake their hand, look them in the eye, smile. And you gotta, I call it fake it till you make it. You really do, because your mind, that nasty habit's going to be grabbing on and be like, what are you doing, dude? You're going the wrong way. Like, no, we don't look at people in the eye when we talk to them. But then if you keep forcing yourself and you hold yourself accountable and you're having fun doing it and you keep doing it, eventually what's going to happen is that bad habit, failure habit's going to unlock, the new one's going to replace it. And then that's going to start building positive momentum for you on autopilot, just the same way the bad one did. Right. And now it's like, you're looking at people in the eye, you're gaining confidence by them smiling back. You're having better interactions. That's continuing to feed the machine and you're building that positive momentum.
Yeah. So how do you, like, is there something in there about how to change the habit of maybe like negative thoughts? Like,
yes.
Okay. So tell me about that.
So thought, there's different views on this. To me, from what I've read so many books, I've tried so many things myself. I call them total truths when I've like read it a million times and then I've tried it in my own life and I'm like, okay, I can hang my hat on this one. Like, this has been around most likely from the beginning of time and it's going to be around until we destroy ourselves. So I'm going with this one. Right. And to me, thought stopping on its own doesn't work. You've got to replace it. And it's just that little extra, and the awareness is the key. So if you're a fixed victim, the majority of your thoughts are going to be negative throughout the day. You're going to be beating yourself up. You're going to be saying, I'm stupid, I'm this, I'm right. But you're not even aware of that. Most people aren't even aware of that, right? They're just kind of like, my life kind of sucks. Why does it suck so bad? Like, again, that victim, like, just throw their arms up. No, take responsibility and say, all right, let's start keeping track of, you know, and I actually use my phone for this. You can essentially go into your notes section every time you have a bad thought and just put a little check mark I usually just put a little number one there. And if I do it again, I put a two and a three. And just by doing that and becoming aware, that alone is huge, because your brain will start becoming aware of, oh, wow, I am having a lot of these negative thoughts, right? And then once you start catching yourself, then you replace them with, okay, this is the fixed victim side of me, my lower self, that, again, it's all perception. He's not real. What is my growth owner self? What would they do? What would she do? And you basically just start taking that action and you replace that thought. And even if you're not there yet, again, you fake it till you make it. And you say, well, because your brain at first is going to go, oh, that's unrealistic. I can't do that. But you know what? Eventually you can and you will. And it's a really, really cool, powerful thing to do, but it's not easy. And if anybody tells you that changing your life is easy and has the key to the elixir to life for $9.99, run in the other direction. It's going to take work. It's going to take discipline. And like I said, it's become very hard because we live in this instant generation where you can basically click a button and get anything. And so it's kind of going back a little bit and stepping back and getting that 10,000 foot view and saying, look, if I want to actually make a change in my life, I need to do it old school, like my grandparents used to do, where they used to, if they wanted a glass of milk, they had to go out and milk the cow, right?
You set yourself up for like rewards that you're going to give yourself if you achieve certain levels or something? Like, okay, if I achieve this level, then, I'm allowed to, have a dessert or something.
Absolutely. Rewards are huge. I use rewards as part of my system that I help people with. You want to have both short-term and long-term rewards. And, you know, and goals are beyond huge too. You can't get anywhere in life without goals, meaning like, okay, this is where, again, that's why you start with that funeral thing, right? And then it's like, okay, most people think of goals in terms of career and finance. And that, again, that's just one out of your five cores. But let's say we're talking about that one. You say, okay, I want to end up here when it's all over. Okay, where do I need to be in 3 years to be on track for that? Where do I want to be in 1 year? And then I usually do 3 months, and then I do immediately. Like, okay. And I review that. I used to do it every day. I've gotten to the point where now I can just do it once a week because it's at the top of my brain. But then every day I know that the things that I'm doing are based on where I want to go versus just so many people just spin their wheels and think that they're making progress and building momentum in a certain direction. But really they're just running in place.
Yeah, totally. So this is so fascinating. Time went so fast and I can't wait. So you think that this will be out in June?
Yeah. So you can sign up for on the website. You can actually sign up for when it's available. So the beta, you'll get an email.
Okay. So what's the website?
What's that?
What's the website?
Oh, the website is More Momentum, MOORE, like my last name, momentum.com. You just go to gamify your life, and then there's a little app thing, and you can sign up to pre-register for the app. And that way, yeah, you'll just be notified and you can try it out immediately for free and see if it works. But going back to, real quick, I just remembered the rewards thing. So in the app, the whole point is the rewards are you're leveling up your ship and that may not be for everybody. And so that's not the only way that you can do it. But the whole point is like, you're getting cool little experiences that, and then you're seeing different graphics and aliens and planets and stuff that you can only see if you're leveling up your life. But you can also translate that to real rewards in your life. So for instance, I have like, okay, I need a new car. My car but I don't care about my car right now. And all I care about is finishing my book and the app. And so I've made an agreement with myself that when I finish the book and I finish the app, then I will reward myself with a new car. So that's an example of a longer term. And then in the short term, like something as simple as, okay, if I finish, I've got these three major things to do today on my list that apply towards my ultimate goal that I've broken down into these different categories. And if I get these three things done, I'm going to cut out early and go hit golf balls or something. Right. So there's all sorts of different ways you can play with that.
Yeah. Love it. This is such a cool idea. Amazing.
Thank you.
So tell us again your website, where we can reach you, where we can follow you, everything. I know we've mentioned it a few times, but I just want to have it one
more
time.
Yeah, no problem. Moremomentum.com. Really, like I said, you can sign up for the app there. That's 2 O's, More, M-O-R-E, Momentum. You can also take that Core Life Evaluator, that free quiz I mentioned, to kind of see where you currently stand. It's like a 3-minute quiz. Like, where do you currently stand in each of your cores? Kind of give you a 10,000 foot view, like I was saying, start becoming aware of where you need to start working. I also have a free ebook that you can get that will kind of get you started on changing those failure habits into success habits. And then of course the Instagram page is 5 Core Life.
Perfect.
We also have a Facebook group, which is also 5 Core Life, if you want to be in a similar community with types of people like this.
Yeah, go join this Facebook group. Fantastic. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. This was amazing.
I can't wait to see this app. I'm super excited to see it.
I can't wait to show it to you.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.